Welcome, everybody, to another Innovation Talks, a podcast by Crowd Policy. This is Theo Kotsastavros. I have the pleasure here today to speak with one very good friend and partner in many projects, Dr. John Soldatos. He's a big expert in big data and AI, and we will be talking about the InfinTech project. So good afternoon, John.
Hello, Theodore. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here with us, and you know, it's actually an extra thing for me because I'm working on this project, and I know that you've been working this for the past 3 years. Actually, it's almost four now, so I'm very happy to discuss with you what has happened so far and what is the purpose and the vision of all this InfinTech project. But before we start, can you just give me a quick introduction about yourself, so for our audience to know who they're listening to?
Yes, of course, Theodore. So I'm an electrical and computer engineer with a PhD, and I'm focusing on artificial intelligence and Internet of Things technologies. What I usually do is that I help enterprises implement ambitious digital transformation journeys using technologies like AI and IoT. And these enterprises include banks and digital finance organizations, which I think is what we're discussing today. In this project, I am with Company Novax as a scientific advisor and innovation delivery consultant.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for that. So can you give us, because we hear a lot about big data, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all these terms that are being used pretty much by all the most innovative companies in the world. So can you give us just an introduction to what this is about? What is big data? What is AI?
Yeah, when people hear the term big data, I think what comes to their mind is a lot of data, large volumes of data. Which is true, but there is not, actually a threshold where we say, this after this number of petabytes, data become big, and below that, they are small. So usually when we talk about big data, it is data that are in large volume with great variety and with different velocities, like high ingestion rates, like data arriving very fast, from sensors, Twitter, stock exchange feeds in finance and so on. So that's what, big data is all about. And, thinking in our context, in the banking context, nowadays you have more sources and more opportunities to get data than ever before. So you've got the banking systems like, your e-banking transaction, credit cards, loans, investments, but you've got many other sources of data. Like social media platforms, like news. And these data are structured and unstructured and semi-structured. So they have a great variety. This is why we are talking about big data and just thinking about the volumes. It's good for our audience to know that during the last 2 years, so let's say from 2019 to 2021, there were more digital data produced than from 2019 back to the beginning of the humankind. And this will keep on exploding like this. So in the next 2 years, we're going to have even more data than in the past. Now, once you have more data, you can use this data to teach computers like humans are taught to learn to do intelligent tasks. And this is why we talk about machine learning, which is actually a very important subject of artificial intelligence. So it's in simple terms, it's when we teach computers to do things similar to the human intelligence. And the more data we have available and the more computing power to process them, the easier it is to do it and the more efficient AI we can build. And that's, why there is all this buzz about AI during the past years. It's not a new term. If you Google it, you will find that people talked about AI in 1950, 1960, I don't know, 50 or 70 years ago. But today, we have more data than ever before. We have more computing capacity, more compute cycles than ever before. And this is what makes AI so topical and so important. And the more data you have, the better AI you can build.
It's so crazy to think, to even think about these things, because as you said, like you mentioned, every year, so practically every year we add more data than we could even, you know, had so far, which is a crazy amount of data. I cannot even, you know, comprehend the amount of that, how big numbers we're talking about. And they are being used in many different ways, right? So you can use it with many companies are using it for internal reasons, for building new products, but specifically for, because we're talking about the financial space, how are these technologies, how are these new, I would say, processes are disrupting this the digital landscape on the finance part?
You know, it's when it comes to banking and finance, you can think that AI is here to change and to disrupt all the applications of a financial organization, all processes, starting from the front end, like, you know, the point where customers interact with a bank. Nowadays, you can interact via an automated, you know, chatbot or voice assistant, right? You can just call the call center and you don't even talk to a human, but you can get a service from a chatbot. And there are, you know, banks that are already doing this. Then you can move, you know, to the middle office, so at the point where you onboard the customer, like, for example, when we open an account, all these we know that it's becoming automated. AI can recognize your passport, your photo, but also do the regulatory checks, see that you are not related to some anti-money laundering activities, search the internet about you, and then moving to the product development, like, you know, how do you assess the risk of a customer, or providing recommendations to a customer in accordance to the customer's risk appetite. We have, you know, these robo-advisor applications that they can help you invest automatically and build certain goals you have. Like, you want to invest part of your income and you want to save and you want to have cash available for other tasks. So it goes in every area. So it's related to the payments, to the loans, to the investments, to the marketing, to the proposition of personalized products. We have machine learning for customer center analytics in this front. So I can really say that it affects all applications, all products, and all services of a modern bank or financial institution, and even beyond that, going to the regulators, like regulatory checks, regulatory reporting. All these can be done in a more automated fashion, in a more intelligent fashion, in the sense that you can, using machine learning, using artificial intelligence, you can unveil hidden patterns of behaviors beyond, you know, the conventional rules.
I see. So the way I hear it, it's I mean, big data and AI and all these technologies are actually making everything more efficient. They're making, I guess, in a sense, cheaper for the end user. And me as the end user, I can actually enjoy more personalized and, you know, something that is much better for me personally rather than getting the big picture, which is actually what we are working on this InFintech project. And as you mentioned, there are so many different aspects that this can be applied to. You mentioned the personalized investment. You mentioned a few other use cases. I wanted to ask you, because you've been in this industry for a while now, and there is there's a challenge, actually. So when it comes to the big banks and big corporations, established corporations in the space, what are the main challenges they are facing when it comes to, you know, how they adapt these type of technologies into their everyday businesses?
Well, there are a couple of challenges, and actually challenges of different nature. Of course, technology is advancing a lot, but we still have technological challenges, you know, mainly getting your data right, because you can understand that all this data are in very different systems, right? And they come in very different formats and using different services. So getting your data right and organizing them and structuring them appropriately and segmenting, you know, structured from unstructured data and processing them in a consistent way is a technical challenge. Building an efficient AI is always another technical challenge. But we you have, you know, additional challenges in complementary areas, like, you know, in the social performance of these systems and in the legal and regulatory compliance. Let me give you an example. You can't have an AI system telling a customer that your loan is rejected, right? If you have that AI assistant, you need to have a way to be able to explain the results to the customer, right? So you need to be able to explain why. It's not enough to say that, okay, I have a bot here, I have a robot, and it denied your loan, right? Rather, these results must be transparent and must be explainable to the banking employee, that they can convey why the loan was approved or rejected or conditionally approved to the customer. So this means, you know, developing new forms of transparent and explainable artificial intelligence, but also adding the ever important legal aspects and legal compliance. Also in Europe, there is a proposed artificial intelligence regulation for that cases to make sure that this works right for the people, so that it is explainable, it is transparent, the data are properly protected, and so on and so forth. And of course, overall, I think the most important for the financial institution is that you need a cultural shift. So you need a shift of the organization towards a new mindset where decisions are becoming data-driven. So you start using data and using machine learning and AI, and not for replacing the human actually, but as a powerful assistant that can automate data processing and can save precious time to the banking employee, while, as you say, giving a personalized and better service to the customer, being it a business or being it a consumer.
I see. And now this actually, it raises another question, because again, as you mentioned, this is just an enhancement of what is happening today. But what do you see, you know, as a, let's say in the not very near future, but in the short term, medium, long term future, are these type of, machine learning techniques going to replace some of the things that we do today, either as businesses or as individuals?
You know, this is happening every day, right? It's not something that is going to happen, in the next 30 years. It's happening every day. And of course, it's happening gradually, right? So we won't wake up tomorrow and, see robots or bots in our job, but in our jobs. And, some sign, there is no need to come to job today. It's not going to happen like this. But every day, companies introduce AI tools, machine learning tools. You know, Theodore, these days, you know, a lot of people fancy, and there is a lot of buzz in social media about this, ChatGPT tool, right? This new type of AI where you just, you know, ask a question, right? Like, write me an article, about AI in finance, and then this writes for you on a 2 pages article, right, automatically. So, you know, more advanced AI-based form of maybe Google, and everybody's fancying this. So, of course, this is released these days, and this is why you see this buzz in social media. But during the past decade, we have every day companies in different sectors, not just finance, introducing AI tools, right? And introducing these tools, as we see, mainly as assistants to save precious time and precious effort. So what I mean, in the banking sector, we don't really want a bot to replace, the asset manager in the wealth management department, or to replace the employee that is in charge of the sales and giving the loans. What we want the AI for is to clear the easy cases of the loans, you know, the easy stuff, which is a clear yes or a clear no, so that the banking employee can shift the focus of his or her attention on the cases that are really challenging, right? Which are borderline. And there you need the human intelligence to say that the loan is granted or not granted. So this is what AI will be used for in the short and medium term. It's a powerful assistant that is deployed in our businesses and saves precious time and precious effort. And as I said, it's happening every day as we speak. It's happening every day. AI is eating some jobs, is repurposing people to other tasks, and it is adding efficiency and productivity in the organization. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's not something that we anticipate in the future. It's happening every day as we speak.
Yes, and it's very important to keep in mind that it's always like on the last level of all the processes, you know, the human sector. And I think this actually implemented, and probably one of the most used scenarios these days is that a human in the end of the day just verifies, especially when you're taking something on a personal loan, for example, where you need to make sure that, you know, no mistakes happened and you can, you know, you have a personal touch to all this. Which is very important for everybody, I think. Perfect. Thank you so much. That's very interesting. I think we can keep the discussion going. And you're right. It has been a buzz these days around the ChatGPT. And the idea is that whatever we do, we can use all these new techniques, new technologies to help us actually lead a better and more convenient or efficient, let's say, way of working. And this brings me back to the next question I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about the InfinTech project here, and the goal of that is to make sure that we use these technologies in, you know, many use cases. So in your view, how is InfinTech helping with all these challenges?
Primarily, InfinTech is a technological project, right? So it's developing big data and AI technology digital finance. So InfinTech is developing a cutting-edge big data technology that can deal with structured and unstructured data, data with high ingestion rates, data at rest, so all the different types of data, despite their volume, despite their heterogeneity, and sometimes despite their real-time nature, because sometimes, you know, we have to deal with data very fast in finance. Think of trading and investments, for example, or think of fraud detection and anti-money laundering. And there, you know, the speed is of importance. So InfinTech is giving technology to help financial organizations, financial institutions, and fintechs get their data right, but also artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms. So InfinTech is giving machine learning libraries for digital finance use cases while exploring, you know, the crossroads of all these AI and big data technologies with other relevant technologies for the sector, like, for example, blockchain technology. Now, as I said, it's primarily a technological project, so it's focusing on technology innovations, but it's not limited to them, because the project is dealing with important complementary aspects. So, like, you know, how you train technical and non-technical users to deal with these systems. So, indeed, there is a dimension of providing, you know, training materials and training content to foster this aspect. Innovation support, so helping smaller companies on how to innovate, how they can find, you know, relevant information and relevant resources. So all of these are within a special portal. We call it the InfinTech Marketplace. It's actually an InfinTech catalog, a catalog of all InfinTech resources and assets. So there you are able to find solutions, to find machine learning models, to find open source, a lot of open source code, to find a data set for data sets for training experimentation, and of course to find these complementary assets I was talking about. So maybe, you know, if we could share this in the podcast description, I think it could be a very good resource, because if you just register there, it takes 1 minute. You can gain access to all this wealth of different assets.
Absolutely. We will share all the links. So everyone who is listening, you can find the links directly below the podcast. So you will be able to find all these places. We've talked also about the InfinTech marketplace with Ernesto Iano, the project leader of this of the InfinTech project in the previous podcast. So you can learn more about how we work. One thing I would like to mention again, because it's very important, is that there are so many resources for any person who would like to work on these topics in the FinTech marketplace. As John mentioned, it takes a minute to log in, and you will be able to find a big number of different ways that can support you. Either you as a developer, or if you're building a business, or if you want to cooperate and partner with any of the pilots. So please join us there. It's a very interesting place to be, because we are actually working, you know, I don't know if we mentioned this today, but we're working on more than 15 pilots across Europe. So there are many different things that we touch upon, and it's you know, the results, you can also use this. There are also open databases there, so you can find the results directly. John, can you, because you've been working on a practical level with many of these pilot projects, so can you give us let's dive into a bit more on a couple of topics. One of my personal favorites are actually personalized insurance products. So can you give us an example of how AI is changing this, and you know, some cases maybe from the InfinTech project?
Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, view insurance as separate from banking, but the two are very much related. So InfinTech, I didn't mention that earlier, but indeed it covers also cases from the insurance sector. So one of the main disruptions that AI bring and big data bring to the insurance sector is a whole new way of calculating risk aversion and premiums. So taking, for example, the healthcare sector and the healthcare insurance sector, nowadays there is a trend for collecting real-world data about a customer's lifestyle, like, you know, your activity, how much active you are during the day. It's nowadays very easy to collect this data technically, because, you know, of the Fitbits, the smartwatches, the smartphones, and so on, and using this data to recalculate healthcare premiums and incentivize healthy behaviors and healthy lifestyles. So, like, you know, if you remain active during the day, and if you complete 8,000 or 10,000 steps per day, this is considered in your healthcare premium calculation, and you get a cheaper healthcare insurance. So this is one way, and we call this usage-based insurance, and it is applicable in other areas. Think, for example, vehicle-based insurance, like pay-as-you-drive. So again, there you use real-life data from the onboard unit of your vehicle, to give lower insurance premium, lower insurance cost to a driver who is driving safely, and in this way achieve this pay as you drive, but paid the customer to drive safely, or actually lower their premiums for drive safely. Similarly, you can do the same in smart homes, right? Nowadays, you've got a lot of sensors in your home, so even home insurance can be disrupted this way. So all these areas are touched upon by InfinTech, and we have different cases of UBI, usage-based insurance, where the premium calculation is based on data from IoT sensors and machine learning algorithms that are executed based on this data.
Amazing. So the future is coming very quickly, and it's going to be, you know, for everyone, life will be easier and much more personalized, which is what we're trying to achieve here. One other thing that we're working again on this project is we're working a lot around blockchain technologies. And, you know, the main case that I think most of the public we know is on the crypto currencies. So what are the cases do you see as an expert in this area? And, you know, what is Infinitech doing towards that direction?
Well, we know that cryptocurrencies is the most prominent and largest scale use case of blockchain technology, right? I'm talking, you know, about blockbuster cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, also recently a lot of projects on non-fungible tokens, NFTs, and so on. Now, in Infinitech, we are not working on crypto. Rather, we are trying to leverage the decentralized nature of blockchain to work on other use cases. So when blockchain is a good idea for other use cases, it's a very good idea when decentralization makes sense. So when there is not an easy way to find a trusted third party, manage a series of transactions in an ecosystem. So we are exploring such use cases in Infinitech, and I'm going to give some examples. For example, know your customer, so how you can manage the data that we share during onboarding with a bank in a decentralized way and with the customer's consent, so that they can really be automatically shared across banks. So if you go to one bank and open an account, and then you go to another bank, to have the opportunity to give all those documentation to the other bank automatically, saving you precious time, right? Not needing to provide the same documentation again and again. We are also analyzing blockchain transaction graphs for fraudulent transactions. So we have a system there, it's in the Infinitech marketplace, and people can find information about the system, also some source code. So this is really a big data problem, because you need to get all the ledger of Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then run machine learning and over a high performance computing infrastructure in order to identify potential fraudulent transactions, transactions that might be scams or that exhibit an abnormal behavior. So this is another system we've been developing. We have also some community contributions, like we have added NFT support, so support for non-fungible tokens to the Hyperledger project. And again, you can find this code in the Infinitech marketplace. So that's actually, Infinitech is providing blockchain results, blockchain use cases in finance beyond crypto. So we're not doing, you know, any new cryptocurrency, or we're not dealing with mining mechanisms, coin supply, and so on, but rather we are leveraging decentralization for automation, convenience, and decentralized trust in digital finance.
I see. And I think this is only the beginning. We still haven't found like all the use cases for the blockchain technology. So it's going to be a very interesting space to watch. Thank you once again, John. One last question I would like to ask you. We discussed about the Infinitech marketplace. And, the thing is that we are inviting everyone who would like to join us. This is a pan-European project where we invite all developers and anyone who is interested in working with us. To visit us and discuss with us about their thoughts on everything. So we have a newsletter, they can join us, and we have channels across YouTube where you can find many videos and resources to help you and support you. So when it comes to someone who is not involved today in the project, what do you think they should do? And, you know, what are the potential benefits of joining this community? Because officially the project ends in a few months, but this will keep going on. And, you know, we're trying to build all these amazing and very inspiring new technologies and ways of using them. So what is your view? If I'm a young professional working on the space, in the space, what should I do and how can I benefit from the whole project?
Yes, I mean, we are delighted and proud to give to the community a lot of content, as we said. So if someone wants to engage and to see, you know, what it means, you know, at a general level, I think the newsletter and the YouTube channel and the website of Infinitech are all very good sources of content. For example, in the website, you will find a lot of informative blogs that explain in a quite easy way, right? Not so much a technical way, how these technologies are changing the finance landscape. Also in the YouTube, you're going to find technical and not technical videos. Now, if you are a student that is working on data science, on machine learning, I would strongly encourage such a profile to register with the marketplace and to access the more technical resources, also to be informed, you know, about our hackathons. We have some till the end of the project, and you know, they are welcome to join and compete with others in building some solutions for digital finance. But as you say, we have a good plan to sustaining our marketplace and the assets there. It's already gathering assets beyond the project. So we are committed to keep this community active after the end of the project. So I think we are giving a lot of content already and a lot of touch points for different profiles, for people with different profiles to engage with our project, now, but also beyond the end of the project. Lastly, Theodore, we've got also an open access book published by Springer. It's open access. It's completely free, always free and unlimited access to everybody. It's already having something like 70,000 downloads in a few months. So yeah, I think it would be a good idea to post this link along with this podcast, and somebody interested in reading something about all this exciting journey we discussed in this podcast. I think the book is a good read. It's structured in different chapters with a different topic, so you can download this book for free and read it at ease at your free time.
I second that. It's a very interesting book, and I will post all these links so anyone can find them. Thank you for everything, John. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for, you know, being with us today here and working on these innovative solutions. We expect to hear more and more about all the technologies that you described, and you know, we are here to support. And I think everybody who is interested should talk with us. Just, you know, find out more information. We're always open to help. As we discussed already, we do this on an open set basis, so everything we do is open to the public. And the idea is to create this community around how finance, how all these disrupting technologies can support the communities around us. Thank you so much, John, for this, for being here with us. It was a real pleasure. We wish you all the best. Anything else you would like to add as final comment for this?
Nothing more, Theodore. Just to thank you and Crowd Policy for this interesting podcast series. And, you know, keep up the good work, because I know you are doing this with other people within and outside the project. So I really hope our discussion was interesting and that our audience will think the same. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone. Yes, thank you, John. Have a good one. Bye, all.
Bye.